Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the CX Goalkeeper podcast. Your host, Greg, will have smart discussions with friends, experts, and thought leaders on customer experience, transformation, and leadership. Please follow this podcast on your preferred platform. I am sure you will enjoy the next episode with the guest I selected for you. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the CX Goalkeeper podcast. Today, I'm really thrilled because I had an outstanding pre-discussion with Nicholas Zeisler. Hi, Nicholas. How are you?
Hey there, Greg. I'm doing great. Good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Thank you very much. I am super thrilled to kick off this discussion speaking about voice of the customer, feedback, acting on the feedback, but linking that out to really create then value for the customer and for the company, linking that with process management. But before we kick off this discussion, Nicholas, could you please introduce yourself?
Yeah, you bet. Thanks, Greg. My name is Nicholas Zeisler. Everybody calls me Z. I'm a fractional chief customer officer. And basically, the way that I approach this entire discipline is listening, observing, discovering through insights where your customers have identified that you're not delivering on your brand promise. And then turning internally to fix and change the systems and processes, sometimes even the policies that you have, so that you are delivering on that brand promise. And been doing that in different iterations and in different ways for many, many years. And it wasn't until just a few years ago that I started appreciating the value of turning that towards customer experience.
Thank you very much. And you mentioned exactly the word values. And the next question is, which values drive you in life?
Oh, you know, that's funny that you would ask that, Greg, because I was just reflecting on this the other day in one of my networking groups. We were talking about that. And you know what thrills me is improving stuff. I learned process engineering and process improvement back when we called it operations research, taking master's classes in the Air Force. And it wasn't until I got into the corporate world that I discovered there's this thing called Lean and Six Sigma and BPI and continuous process improvement and process engineering in general. And so I've always had this thrill for improving and fixing and making things better. It's funny because part of it comes from just a general laziness. Why is this so complicated? I don't want to have to take so much time to do this. Why don't we streamline this process and make it better and easier? And there is a business argument for doing that. And then as we'd alluded here just a minute ago, there are applications for these sorts of things, improving things that will not just drive really good cost savings and resource savings, but drive customer loyalty and drive customer purchase and repurchase and recommending and all these things that we try to do. That's really at the heart of it is making improvements. That's what's going to drive better customer interactions and better customer experiences.
Thank you very much. And it's clear you already kick off the discussion. Therefore, let's start the game. You has a lot of experience in a lot of different industries in different roles. What CX principle do you find most critical nowadays?
It's absolutely got to do with taking action. There are a lot of people who get caught up in the concepts of voice of the customer and surveys and arguing about whether this or that survey. And I get all sorts of questions about how do you improve survey response rates and all these things. It's like, that's great. And it's important to be curious and it's important to want to dig in and find out what your customers are saying and what their experiences are. I'm a huge advocate of that. But I gotta tell you, if at the heart of all of that curiosity, if at the heart of all that analysis and all of that investigation isn't that you intend with what you've learned to act and change and improve how you do business, then all of it is a complete waste of time, waste of energy. In fact, in a certain way, Greg, you'd appreciate it's almost insulting to your customers. You ask them, hey, what do you think? How did it go last time? Would you recommend us to your neighbors and so forth? And they give you, you know, they take a minute and respond to your survey or answer your interview questions or participate in some way in your VOC program. And you go, okay, great, thanks. You have helped me put a dot on a chart for my CEO who wants to know what our NPS is. But what I don't care about is to improve anything about what I'm doing so that the next time, hopefully you come back, it's a better experience. You've wasted a lot of people's energy if you're not going to take action.
And what you're saying is extremely real because I was discussing with a company few days ago and they told me, oh, we are doing our NPS survey. We are getting the data, but we are not acting on that. And then I asked why? And they said, yeah, we start getting the data and perhaps in future we can work with it. And exactly what you're saying, why are we asking for feedback? And if we don't want that, and if we don't need that, and we don't act on that.
Yeah, absolutely. It's really a waste of your energy. And I know there are plenty of, you know, big companies out there who charge and therefore make a lot of money to help run your survey system. I have a lot of friends that work there, so I don't have a big problem with that. But you're spending a lot of money. You're wasting a lot of money. You know, we talk about what got me into this in the first place was process improvement and process engineering. The traditional purpose of doing that is to save resources. If you think about lean, you're trying to eliminate waste and eliminate unnecessarily wasted resources. If you're talking about Six Sigma, you're talking about finding or driving reliability so that you have fewer defects and fewer things that fall outside of the range of acceptability. All of that is geared towards saving resources. And so when you think about the waste of resources that it is to commission a survey and you get Qualtrics or SurveyMonkey or Medallia or somebody to send all these interviews that, or all these requests for surveys out, and then they crunch all your numbers and you hire a couple business analysts and you get people put it in charts. That's a lot of work to do for no benefit at all. Unless, again, I'm going to say it is just a broken record. I'll play it again. Unless you're taking action on it.
And let's assume that companies are going to take action on that.
Well, that's a big assumption, Greg, but okay.
Yeah, let's start and let's hope for the best. And I'm sure with the companies you work with, they were taking action on that. Do you have perhaps an example that you can share with us? What changed with this process improvement? Perhaps from this time, we are not speaking about changing the journeys and so on, but thinking really inside out about process improvement, process, everything changing in the processes.
Yeah.
Could you share something with us?
Yeah, you bet. In fact, I have a client that recently the change, I get into like the changes they made to their processes and their internal systems. That might be boring if you're not in the industry that they're in and so forth. But what's more important is that it changed their entire outlook on what their CX department is. Now, first of all, when we talk about CX, there's always the bit of confusion that a lot of people think when you say CX, they'll think about, oh, that's contact center, that's customer support or customer care. Really an important part of not only your business, but also part of your customer's journey. But when I talk about CX as a department or as a function or like, you know, the office of the customer, I'm talking about that process improvement team. That group that does VOC and process engineering. There's probably a bit of culture work and so forth that goes into it as well. But so this organization had a CX team, and it was basically formed mostly just around that VOC process. I'm like, okay, that's great, but what are we doing with it? And so that was the challenge to their head of CX. Okay, what are you doing with it? And what we need to do is change the perspective from this is a reporting and analysis group, right, into this is a change and improvement management organization. And the thing about it is that what they used to do in the VOC work, Greg, changed tremendously when they started reflecting on, oh, wait, we need to start creating actionable insights rather than just, like I said, another dot on a chart for where our NPS or our CSAT is this month. And so they changed that. What's funny is that not only did they start adding more value to the organization by way of, you know, making improvements and making changes, but their core principle, their core talent of being VOC experts improved too, because they started asking better questions, because they weren't just looking for that KPI. They were looking for those insights. And so they changed their surveys. They changed the way they interviewed their customers. When they walked in their customers' shoes, they started thinking about it in terms of what they could change and what they could do differently. They were leveraging, was something that I always recommend, they were leveraging insights from their ticketing system in their customer care department, talking about customer support and customer service and customer care. They were leveraging that, but now they started looking at it differently. Rather than just the volume, rather than just what are people griping about more, they started thinking about, well, how can we improve these things? How can we head off these customer issues before they ever get there? And that takes that internal, you know, approach. And that also changed the way they listened and the insights that they sought. And so even a company, even an organization that used to think that VOC is basically what CX is all about, beginning, middle, and end, and that's it. When they started recognizing that you can do more with it, it can be more impactful, that changed that VOC part of it in the first place, because you wanted better information in if you were going to take action on it.
What you are saying is one dot on a chart doesn't really change the customer experience, doesn't improve the processes. And I think that's...
Yeah, it doesn't tell you anything. It is that, there's that joke, and actually, I was on a webinar the other day, and I was mentioning about how, you know, there's that old saying that says, "What gets measured gets managed." You know that saying? And I was like, okay, well, here's your NPS. And again, like I said, I could crap all over NPS, Greg. I could do it all day long. But it's the same thing with CSAT. It's the same thing with any top level KPI. But the point is, how do you manage NPS? If I tell you that last month your NPS was 65, which is like, that's pretty good. It's like this month, your CPA or your KPI, your NPS, and all the numbers and all the letters, this it went up 3 points. You're like, that's great. So did you do anything to make that happen? I don't know. I think we might have. Sure, I hope so. Or was it just a different collection of customers who answered the survey that time? However, if I tell you that your customers have identified last quarter, they identified 6 main areas that were dissatisfying them. There you go. You can even still use NPS and still use that, you know, the terminology. And what you did was the 2 most frequent occurring issues that they had, you actually addressed both of those. And now your customers are telling you, well, every once in a while that still happens, but not nearly as bad as before, not nearly as frequently as before. And what's nice is that you probably will be able to find a correlation between taking those actions and what that NPS or CSAT top level KPI actually turns out to be. So it's like, okay, now you're leveraging insights rather than just following KPIs and metrics.
Now I have a clear task. Next month, I will search for the correlation between having Nicolas on my podcast and the increase of the NPS of my podcast.
yeah, we'll see if anybody comes back after I've been on your podcast. just remember, correlation is not the same as causation.
that's another topic that we could discuss in one future episode.
Yeah.
You are now really focusing on voice of the customer, on actions. You worked a lot on process management. I know that you are also an expert in agile methodologies. How are you able to integrate all these disciplines, methods, tool to enhance customer experience and to support operational efficiency in companies?
Yeah, this is a challenging question, Greg, but I will say that one of the things that I reflect on in all my training and you know, I'm a Lean Six Sigma black belt. I'm a certified Scrum Master, and I've gone through all this training and had experience with all these gurus and these brilliant practitioners and all these different disciplines. One thing that's interesting that I always find, and it's not everybody, but it's curious that you'll find a lot of times that people who practice some of these disciplines, like pick any Lean Six Sigma or Six Sigma black belt off the street, it's funny how many of them are so doctrinaire and so wedded and just recalcitrant about ever doing anything that isn't along the specific particular method. And at this phase, you're supposed to be doing this and you can't deviate from that. And then meanwhile, the big thing that we're supposed to be are change agents, right? We're supposed to get people to think outside of the box. We're never allowed to use, well, that's the way we've always done it, to be an excuse for doing something the way it's always been done, right? Well, on the other hand, you meet a lot of practitioners in my line of work who are like, no, this is exactly how it needs to be done. But if you are, and I like to flatter myself that this next is an example of me, if you're curious, if you enjoy analogizing and thinking, this is interesting how this was done over here. I wonder if I could do something similar to that over here, right? If you find yourself telling stories about, you know, this is very similar to something I observed in an earlier part of my career, or when I worked with a different client, or when I did something else, you start to see how, like, there's really nothing new under the sun, and it's all about perspective. I am where I am right now, and I wish I could claim credit for this, but it was a former boss of mine. In fact, it was someone who was recruiting me to come work for him to be his head of CX, who said, "Z, we love process improvement, and we know you're an expert in it. What we want is to take that skill set and that talent and that toolbox, and we want to put it towards this other use." And I thought, that's fantastic. I mean, I'd never even thought of that. And that's why before you hit record, we were joking earlier that how revolutionary it seems for some people to think, oh, well, you're taking action on your VOC data. Like, well, what were you doing with it before? And it's easy for me to say because I never did CX other than I was brought into it from the process engineering world as it is anyway. And so if you're the sort of person that, like I say, likes to analogize or likes to think about, oh, this is interesting. I wonder if this has a different application. I wonder if I could try this. If I twist it a little bit differently, can I use it over here? And it's kind of tinkering philosophically almost. And you'd be surprised how many different ways that you can apply different things. It's why one of the things that I argue a lot is that it's important if you're going to engage in CX to consider, at least to the degree to which you're comfortable, other industries, right? The example that I give is that if you run a hospital or a healthcare system or network or something like that, and you're looking for a new chief of surgeon or chief of surgery, you want a surgeon, right? Because you don't want to just talk, oh, well, this person was a chef. Let's see if he's any good at surgery. You don't want that. You want somebody who's got that background. But if you're looking for a patient advocate or a head of patient, you know, experience, try somebody maybe from the hospitality industry or something like that. Get someone who can bring in a different perspective. And when they say something like, well, why do we do it this way? Why do our customers have to do it like this, right? Why do they have to experience this? Instead of people saying, well, let me tell you why they have to do it. It's like, no, I didn't mean that literally. What I mean is they shouldn't have to like fill this form out five different times or whatever. And so they can bring in that different perspective. Now, obviously, they're not just going to knock down all the walls and rebuild it from scratch, but it's that curiosity. It's almost that, you know, calling out the emperor's new clothes that's valuable in bringing somebody in with that different perspective. And that's been like the story of my entire career. There's no way I could have predicted being where I am now.
But this is extremely interesting because I always see the big opportunity of success when we have big projects, big initiatives starting, if you put together all these different disciplines. It's not only the project manager managing and writing down requirements, but you start putting them, somebody that understand processes, somebody that understand customers, somebody that understand agility and all these methodologies. And they need to start work together and speak the same language. At the beginning, it's extremely difficult. Therefore, this change agent that you mentioned is also extremely important. But they bring really the best of their way of thinking together, diversity, if we let me define like that, and then bring great ideas to the table to start kick off the project and make the project a success. And this is something I really like. And every time that we do that, it works.
Yeah. I think there's a couple really cool aspects of agile project management lends itself to CX. One of them being the focus on the user, focus on the customer. And everything is about, well, what sort of utility can they get out of it? What's the problem that they're trying to solve? What are they trying to accomplish? Rather than, hey, here's this cool thing I built, and I think it might be fun, and I think it might be really neat, and I think there might be utility to it. It's like, no. What is the user trying to get done? What is the job to be done? I mean, that matches right up with CX. And then the other part of it is that incremental improvements. It's that MVP, the minimum viable product. It's let's just get something improved. And that actually lends itself a lot of times to the concept of, say, a quick win within the process engineering world too. I was just actually talking to somebody this morning, in fact, a client about this, said, you know, we want to knock all these big things out of the park. We want to talk about, you know, what our strategic plan is, what's our roadmap for all these big projects. And that's so important to do from that strategic perspective. And you know that as well, Greg. But it's also nice to just say, hey, here's a proof of concept. We had this very small team. There were two or three people just worked on this little thing, and they tweaked and fixed this one thing that our customers were saying was bothering them. All it really took was just adding a different button on the website, or all it took was just changing the way we worded this thing, or we were sending this email out far too frequently or not nearly frequently enough, or whatever it might be, right? And it's like, it didn't take, you know, moving the sun and the moon to have this sort of impact. All it just took was somebody to say, all right, well, this is pissing our customers off. Let's stop doing this. Or let's change how we do this. Okay, well, great. I had the authority to do that, so I'll make the change.
And I love that, because this opportunity to make change, to drive change, and to drive these small changes, it's extremely important, because nowadays every company wants to do the big project, the big initiatives, big transformation, and it takes years and years and years. And if you can focusing on this continuous improvement, it's extremely important to bring every few weeks, every few days, something new to the customer, improving that, and linking back to what you said at the beginning, from the feedback from the customer.
Absolutely. You know, that's such a great point about that too, Greg, is that you're always getting that feedback. And that great loop and the cycle of, we heard you, and so there's this, you know, and you wrap that into things like communication back to your customer. Thanks so much for your recommendations. Here's what we've done. I'll tell you, and I alluded to this before too. I get questions about how do we improve our survey response rate? You know, how do we get more people? I said, well, demonstrate that you actually do something with it probably makes a huge difference, right? And if you started your again, Medallia or Qualtrics or SurveyMonkey, right? If you started the invitation email that you send out for a survey with, hey, last year, our customers told us this, and so we did this. Please help us continue to improve your experience with our brand by giving us further feedback. What more would you like to see improved as well? Oh, well, now I know it's just not going into a black hole. I know now that when I write to you, you're at least going to read it. And it may not be the top priority, but it's going to get in there somehow. And that you want to incentivize people, that the whole what's in it for me, that answers that question. What's in it for me to answer your survey? It's not the $5, you know, gift card to the coffee shop that you'll incentivize me. It's not being entered into some sort of raffle if I respond to your survey. It's, yeah, you're actually going to make my experience better the next time I come back to your establishment, or the next time that I engage with you online, or whatever your product or service might be. Makes a huge difference.
And this not only for the customer, but also for the employees. Thinking about your different ads, you are the customer, you have Lean Six Sigma, you mentioned agility and so on, wearing all different hats. Which skills do you bring with you when you are in organization as a leader, and what are the most powerful?
It without a doubt, the most important skill or attribute that somebody who really wants to improve your customers' experiences, the most important thing you can bring with you is a sense of curiosity. All the way from the VOC customer insights work, you're asking questions, you're soliciting feedback and insights from your customer. But you're also looking in other places for it. Like I said, you go down to the contact center. What are they griping about? What are they calling in? What problems are they having? You're looking at your website data to see how people click through from one page to the next. What's confused? What might be causing people to not continue or not finish with this or abandon and so forth? You're constantly curiously looking for insights. And then the next part, and again, as I badmouth my fellow process engineers, which I shouldn't do, is sometimes there's curiosity missing in that, but it's a huge part of it, because you're looking for root causes of what the problems are. You're not just like, okay, well, this is a problem. Well, we just need to shorten this. Well, do we really need to shorten this, or do we need to make it a little easier to understand? And maybe it's just as long as it needs to be, but it needs to just be changed in some way or another. You're curiously looking for what the root cause is, and then curiously looking for unique and innovative solutions once you've identified what the root cause is. So there's curiosity in both ends of that part of the work. And then you'd alluded, actually, Greg, and this is great to team members and employees and whether or not they feel that they're part of the process. some of the best sources of insights come from your team members, and not just like go down to the ticketing system and pull a report out. If you're a SaaS company and you have customer success folks who are basically account executives, you know, that's what you used to call it. Everyone needs the word customer in their title now. But those people are working day in, day out, trying to get your customers, your clients, through your systems and processes so that they can better benefit from whatever it is, the service and the SaaS that you provide. And this is just one example for one part of one industry. Well, ask them what they're doing all day. Ask them if they could do only success, which, by the way, customer success isn't about helping the client through the sales process because accounts receivable is a pain in the neck. No, customer success is understanding their jobs to be done, finding the best and most unique and, by the way, curious and creative ways of leveraging the power of your SaaS to their benefit because you're understanding their business and why they're using you and what they're trying to accomplish. Well, you don't get to do any of that if you spend half your day helping your customers, helping your client portfolio get through your legal department because it's always a pain in the neck when there's a question about the contract or something like that. Well, that's not really customer success. That's just papering over your systems and your processes that need to be streamlined so that your customers actually can be successful and buy and use whatever product you're using.
I think streamlining, simplification is key. I am sorry, but we are coming to an end of this game. But in the extra time, I still have three questions for you. Fast forward 10 years from now, what topic are we discussing on the CX Goalkeeper podcast?
Well, I'll come back and talk about how great retirement is. What we're, you know, I think what we're talking about is how CX as a discipline has kind of revolutionized the way that brands interact with their customers and approach their customers. It's always evolving and always changing, and it happens differently in different industries as it is anyway. But I think rather than just, hey, well, we sent out a survey and here's what the number is, which used to be just marketing would do that for you, and there you go. Now it's kind of evolving into, oh, there's a lot of analysis and there's a lot of, you know, digging in, but it's going to have more purpose that we're going to look back now and we're going to think, wow, I can't believe that we used to just send out surveys and that was the end of it all. And it's going to feel like a completely different wilderness when that used to happen way back in the beginning of the 21st century.
Thank you, Nicholas. And what's the best way to contact you?
I am on LinkedIn. You can try to spell my last name. It's Zeisler. I'm the only Nicholas Zeisler out there, I think. And I've got links on there to my website as well, where I write articles every couple of weeks, usually. I've got a book out there. There's all sorts of stuff you can find.
And to the audience, you will find all these details in the show notes, but perhaps could you spend two or three sentences on your book?
Yeah. I wrote it as kind of, it's part manifesto, part cookbook, actually, is kind of how I described it at the time. I wanted to find a way to just kind of describe what my framework was. And of course, you and I talked about two huge parts of it. It's the voice of the customer insights part, and then there's the process engineering. There's a third leg to the stool, if I could McKenzie it out a little bit or Bain it out, since we're talking about NPS. And that's also about driving a CX culture within your organization. And so there those parts of it, and it basically lines out how to build and how to create a function within your organization that is responsible for that end-to-end CX work that needs to be done for every brand.
Thank you. And I think we can find your book in Amazon, correct?
Amazon and Barnes & Noble as well, yeah.
Perfect. Then for the audience, you will find all this link also in the show notes. And now we are coming to the last question. Is Nicholas golden nugget? It's something we discussed or something new to leave to the audience?
You know, it's funny, Greg. It goes back to some of the first times that I ever spoke to anybody about CX. And if I could leave like one sticky note on everybody's computer that says, here's what CX is and here's how you do it, it would be do something. Do something with the insights that you are gathering from your customers. Otherwise, it's a complete waste of your energy
Thank you very much, Nicholas, for your time. Please stay with me. To the audience, it's everything for today. I hope you enjoyed this discussion as much as I did. Thank you very much, Nicholas. Bye-bye.
Bye. Thanks so much, Greg.
If you enjoyed this episode, please share the word of mouth. Subscribe it, share it. Until the next episode, please don't forget, we are not in a B2B or B2C business. We are in a human-to-human environment. Thank you.